Fox and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Stay inside if you can. Meteorologist Craig Allen says it will be dangerously hot in much of the country this weekend, especially in the Northeast.
An extensive heat dome is building and intensifying and will cover more than half the nation as we go through the weekend and into next week. This will include over 170 million people being affected by this heat and under some kind of heat alert.
As Craig said, the heat will last into next week. The Trump administration has complied with a federal judge's order to release a man officials say is a threat to national security. Here's CBS's Katie Weiss.
Columbia University student Mahmoud Khalil was released from an ICE detention center in this rural community after being detained here for more than 100 days following his arrest in March that has sparked nationwide outrage. Asked his message to other immigrants in this country today, Khalil said, quote, "No one is illegal. No human is illegal." He says he hopes next time he's here at this ICE detention facility in Jena, that it will be when this facility is a museum on what he says are America's racist policies against immigrants.
Katie reported from Jena, Louisiana. Khalil is headed home to New York to see his wife and newborn son. President Trump today publicly disagreed with the country's intelligence agencies about whether Iran is currently building a nuclear bomb.
What intelligence do you have that Iran is building a nuclear weapon? Your intelligence community has said they have no evidence that they are at this point.
Well, then my intelligence community is wrong. Who in the intelligence community said that?
Your director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard.
She's wrong.
In March, DNI Gabbard told Congress the country's spy agencies believe that Iran had not made a decision to build a nuclear weapon. Americans trying to leave Israel as Iran continues to fire missiles at the country say they're having a hard time doing so. CBS's Haley Ott's been talking with some of them in Tel Aviv.
They are scared, frustrated that they haven't heard anything from the U.S. Embassy here or from the State Department, apart from some guidance that there possibly was a plan to organize flights or charter boats to get people out of here who want to leave.
A Texas Court of Appeals says using city funds to help women get an abortion in another state violates the state constitution. KRLD reporter Chris Fox has details.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton called San Antonio's use of the Reproductive Justice Fund an attack on the pro-life values of the state. He sued the city shortly after the money was allocated in April. Since Texas has a near total ban on abortions, the money was used to help cover the costs of women traveling out of state for the procedure.
This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive. Protect your auto, home, and business with Progressive and get 24/7 coverage. See if you can save at progressive.com. That's progressive.com.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Pacers beat the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball. The Pacers dominated the Thunder last night in Indianapolis, 108-91, to tie up the NBA Finals at three games apiece. Oshkosh, Wisconsin's Tyrese Halliburton from the Pacers on Sunday night in Oklahoma City. It'll be the first time there's been a Game 7 in the Finals in 9 years.
You know, for the next couple days, the narratives are going to be almost poison, you know, to talk about what this would mean to our city and legacy talk, and we played so well.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers opening a three-game series against the Twins at Target Field. The Crew with a dramatic 8-7 win over the Cubs in Chicago yesterday, despite some very questionable balls and strike calls by the home plate umpire against the Brewers' Abner Uribe and Trevor McGill.
Pretty bad calls there in Abner's inning and in my inning. Yeah, I mean, that's baseball, I guess. I mean, they're going to have bad days back there, too.
That's Brewers closer Trevor McGill. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with maybe a stray storm and lows in the low 70s. This weekend, heat advisory. Mostly sunny, hot, breezy and humid. Highs mid-90s, heat index triple digits. Some storms Sunday night and Monday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend news headlines and also State Senator Kelda Royce. Will the Joint Finance Committee actually meet this week? She'll tell us. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're in the midst of our Free Ticket Fridays. The word until 11 o'clock. You want to text in via the Civic Media app is Brew, B-R-E-W. You can't do that. Brew is the word.
B-R-E-W.
Text in the word Brew until 11 o'clock and you're in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. You got five chances to win. Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, will have a new word. Todd Alba, the same, from 2 to 4. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Free Ticket Fridays. The word right now until 11 o'clock is Brew, B-R-E-W. Enter and good luck, just like Caesar and Madison and John and Oshkosh and Paul and Wisconsin Rapids. I love it.
But not Dan in Milwaukee.
Not Dan in Milwaukee.
He can't text in and win in the contest.
No.
Correct. And if you do win the tickets and you go, take pictures. Text them in. We want to see people having a good time
at
these games.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck. The word is Brew, B-R-E-W. It's Friday, so the man who cannot enter the contest, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, is here in studio. Lots of things to talk about. We're going to get to your comments on Summerfest. We'll do that in our audio sorbet segment. That's after the 10:30 news, where we try and lighten things up a little bit and take a breath and get away from the news. Sure. And that too.
It's a funny audio sorbet.
I love those hotkeys. Absolutely. So join us for audio sorbet after the 10:30 news. And we're going to wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the I'll be checking out early edition. You want to stick around for this one. Let's start, though, with, yeah, the Republicans just walked away. We can't do anything. We can't get everything we want. We don't want to compromise. So we're just going to leave.
Yeah, the state budget. Here we are on June 20th. The budget is due June 30th.
Almost there.
We do not have a state budget to be voted on. It's been a little bit of a discombobulating week in Madison as Republicans try to figure out what kind of budget they're going to pass, if they're going to hold sessions to craft the budget. You know, this week, Todd Alba has been all over the news of what's happening at the UW system.
He broke it.
He broke the story on Monday night. Yep. And, you know, Robin Voss confirmed it, I believe, in a press conference Wednesday that the Republicans are proposing an $87 million cut to the UW system. I know it's called the Universities of Wisconsin now. I'm going to keep calling it the UW system.
I'm with you.
I still call it Miller Park. I'm still, you know, I'm stuck in the old ways.
Okay, but Grandpa.
That's besides the point. Yeah, they don't haven't seemed to figure out how to. They haven't gone through the process of doing this. So, like, after Todd broke the story on Monday, they delayed the vote on the UW system vote that was planned for Tuesday. They delayed that to yesterday, Thursday, and they canceled that session about 15 minutes before it was scheduled
to
start.
Yeah, we were just talking to Corrine Hendrickson about that.
Yeah, she was there, right? She was there.
She shut down her business to be there.
Insane. Yeah. And so, you know, and when these things get scheduled, people come from all over the state to be there to advocate for various positions and whatnot, just like Corrine and the folks who were involved with advocating for childcare. Childcare was on the agenda, as was the UW system, kind of the two of the top items that have been particularly contentious throughout this process. Those are two of the three things that Tony Evers said, you know, he needed from the Republicans in this deal in order to, you know, meet their ask on a tax break of some kind. He outlined three things: K-12 education, UW system, and childcare. Two of those were going to be up yesterday. That got canceled at the last minute. So it is it introducing kind of this strange dynamic in Madison that we just don't really have anything there
but
to
vote on. I go back to two out of the three things that were the top things that the Joint Finance Committee heard about when they traveled around the state four times.
Absolutely.
These were the biggest issues to Wisconsinites, and these are the main issues that Republicans continue to ignore and walk away from.
Mm-hmm.
I think they stick their la 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 la.
Well,
we took comments for 9 hours. I didn't hear anything. I was playing Candy Crush.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing too, is we mentioned earlier before, is the fact that, you know, while it is disappointing and unprofessional and unstatesmanlike to cancel a meeting 15 minutes before it's to go on when you have all these individuals there, we shouldn't be surprised by a group who has the JFC and they go around listening, quote unquote, the air quotes are doing some heavy lifting in that one, and do nothing about it. But also, this also dispels the myth they've been trying to portray of, well, Governor Evers just won't talk to us. That's junk. Mm-hmm. That's junk. He is compromising on things that I wish he wouldn't I don't want a tax break. That's not what we need here. But he's doing what a politician needs to do. And they're like, not good enough. No, we're gonna gut the UW system even more.
Well, and I think that introduces this potential issue for Evers where, you know, so basically what happens if they don't pass a budget by the 30th, everything goes back to all of the funding levels set by the previous budget. Mm-hmm. So the budget that was passed 2 years ago, it would just continue on in the funding levels that are there. So if Republicans pass a budget that has an $87 million cut, not just a cut to Evers' proposal, which was to add hundreds of millions of dollars to the UW system, but cut to existing levels, I think it would be incumbent on Evers to probably veto the entire budget and do what he has not done this is now his fourth budget cycle in his second term as governor. Each of these cycles, he has eventually signed a Republican budget and then used the veto governor's powerful line item veto powers to make various changes to certain things. I don't know if that's what he should do, because like if he can't line item out an $87 million cut, that cut is there if the budget passes.
Right.
So I think he has to actually consider doing what he has not done yet and vetoing the entire budget if it is passed with cuts like this, if it doesn't include any new money for childcare, any like Medicaid expansion, things like that. I think Evers needs to start getting out there in the public saying, these are the priorities that I've advanced. This is what we've talked about. This is the middle ground that we're ready to meet on. I'm going to veto the entire budget if it includes a major cut to the UW system, or if it doesn't include like Medicaid expansion or like certain types of things. I think he has an opportunity to do that right now.
If you're just joining us, we have Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer here. He's also the founder of the multi-award-winning Recombobulationary, and we're talking about the Wisconsin budget being at a standstill right now, frustratingly. And one of the things I want to go back to is what we just spoke with Corrine about, which was that poll they did. And they talked to, I think, 2,600 people, and a vast majority of them do not utilize childcare, but 80% of them said that we need a fix. So to me, what you're saying, Dan, is if he vetoes that budget, and the next thing he needs to do is put out a press conference and say, we agree on this. We've seen the numbers. We agree on a lot of things, actually, but this one we agree with. And I have to take care of Wisconsinites. And I know some of you won't like this, but I need to veto this budget because we need to go back to the beginning and try this again because people are struggling. And I made a commitment to the people as well as children. And I feel like vetoing the budget is a powerful statement, whether it's honestly, whether it's for reelection or not. Because he doesn't run, it's his, probably one of his last big moves. If he decides to run, he needs to run on this because people aren't going to understand, and he needs to make them understand what an important move this is.
Well, and I was at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's convention last weekend in Wisconsin Dells. We talked about that on the show earlier this week. But one of the things that was kind of floating around there was that Citizen Action of Wisconsin and a number of groups and kind of a coalition that they have put together had these stickers on that said, veto the budget if it doesn't include K-12 education funding. Veto the budget if it doesn't include, Medicaid expansion. Veto the budget if it doesn't have childcare. So there is this push from a bunch of progressive groups on the left that would be part of the Democratic Party's larger coalition that were at the convention urging Tony Evers to veto this budget. And that was before the news on Monday of the proposed UW cut as well. So I think there is, and I was on the Citizen Action of Wisconsin podcast this week. We were talking about that. I think there are a number of progressive groups across Wisconsin that are going to be vocally urging Evers to veto the budget depending on what is ultimately passed here. And I think it goes into, what you alluded to with the questions over Evers' reelection and whatever else, like this is a tough spot right now for the governor in a lot of ways.
It is. But we've heard so much that Democrats want to see more Democratic leaders taking a stand. And I think if he would do this, and as you said, Greg, I think it's important to do follow up so people understand why he took this stand. But if he takes a hard stand on this, that might work in his favor.
And I also think that there's a lot of eyes on Wisconsin right now, both from the fact that we are a swing state, the fact that we are purple-ish, and this spring election. If the governor of Wisconsin stands up to the Republican majority and says, no, you're done, we're trying this again, that's a powerful statement that can also reinvigorate some of those Democrats around the country who are like, we're kind of weak right now. We need help. You have a guy like Tony Evers. He doesn't look like J.B. Pritzker. Thank you. He doesn't look like him. He doesn't look like Andrew Cuomo. He doesn't look like one of these big guys. He's a man of his stature, and he's a quiet gentleman. And if he comes up and says no, that sends ripples throughout the country and is a story and could maybe give other governors and other lawmakers some confidence to do the same.
I do think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Evers to veto the budget entirely. And then what would that mean? Would Republicans just walk away and just try not to pass a budget and be like, well, we're fine with previous funding levels.
Why not?
And then we're just not going to pass a budget.
Yeah.
The less work they have to do, in my opinion, and what we're seeing here, the better for them.
They've already worked way past their expiration date. I mean, good heavens, shouldn't they be on vacation by now?
Yeah.
They must be exhausted. It's been four whole, wow.
Yeah.
It's been four months.
Let me ask you this, though. Greg, you mentioned the study, the childcare study, and like the kind of the survey on that. Well, this has kind of been a tactic that Everson has deployed in various times, calling special sessions, like special session on the gun violence prevention measures, and saying like, hey, Marquette pulled this and it's like 80% support. You know, this has happened in a number of different times. The abortion measures that he brought up as well. Well, it hasn't actually worked, though, in the end of the day. Like, it's been a good rhetorical argument for it, and one I agree with, and saying like, hey, if this is an 80-20 issue in Wisconsin, we should at least have the conversation. We should have a special session. We should talk about these things. That hasn't moved Robin Voss, though.
Well, and I'm not actually even worried about moving Robin Voss. What I'm saying is that if he does this, he's appealing to the voters themselves who are saying these are important issues to us. And then what will happen is the voters might move Robin Voss out because they might get. I don't know. This is all speculation, but I'm speaking less about him talking to the Republicans and more talking to the people who agree on this, as well as many issues that Robin Voss and his cohorts are like, no, we're not doing this.
Right.
So it's about appealing to the people, but in a way that's effective.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, it's appealing to the people is ultimately what matters here. But in order to get something done, We got to find some sort of compromise. Well, and after the break, I think we should talk a little bit about what's going on, the differences between the Assembly and the Senate.
Absolutely.
In this conversation, too.
Dan Schaefer is here. We are recombobulating. You can always join us. And by the way, you can always call your lawmaker if you want to know how to get a hold of a myvote.wi.gov. Ask him why they hate children. I'm just curious. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
Grown Radio, WFHR.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I'm discombobulated. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck. Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are in the midst of our Free Ticket Friday. You have until 11 o'clock to text in via the Civic Media app. Only the word is BREW, B-R-E-W, in the running for a four-pack of Brewers tickets, club-level seats, really good seats. Your next word will come up after 11 o'clock in the Tom Hartman Show, and then from 2 to 4 with Todd Alba, and a different word with Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Free Ticket Fridays. The word right now until 11 o'clock to text in is BREW, B-R-E-W. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, talking about the budget. It's kind of in limbo right now.
Budget impasse right now, that's for sure. Yeah. And it's interesting, as I was following the kind of statements that would came out after the Joint Finance Committee session was canceled yesterday. There are different statements coming out from the Assembly and from the Senate Republicans.
Do they not talk to each other at all?
Well, I think this is an interesting piece of this. So I'm going to read a quote from the statement released by Robin Voss and Assembly Finance Co-Chair Mark Bourne. So part of this, you know, if in the statement, they talked about that, you know, we negotiated in good faith with Governor Evers. Assembly Republicans will not pass a budget that doesn't have a guarantee from Governor Evers of tax relief in it. But at the end of the statement, it says, quote, this is the most conservative and most responsible option. This budget is on a trajectory to have more conservative growth rate than the budget that was passed by the Assembly and Senate 2 years ago. We hope Senate Republicans will come back to the table to finish fighting for these reforms and complete the budget on time. Really putting Senate Republicans in the spotlight here as the problem. And I think Governor Evers' spokesperson said something similar. I think Senate Republicans need to figure out how to count to 17 because they need 17 votes. They have 18 Republican state senators. Two of them have said that they don't want to pass this budget. So I'm not great at math, but that does not get them to 17. So I think that is why we are at this moment here. Where Mark Bourne and Robin Voss are saying, we hope Senate Republicans will come back to the table to finish fighting
for
these reforms.
Get it together,
and complete the budget
kids.
On time. Get it together, Senate
come
Republicans.
Come on, kids.
Devin Lemahue and and the rest of the crew there.
Do you think that the Senate and the Senate Democrats were like, did they forget to mention us in there? Why are they talking to this? Seems real catty.
Well, State Senator Chris Kapinga has put out a statement earlier this week that he would prefer to not pass a budget and just go back to the previous levels. State Senator Steve Nass, is it Nass or Nass? I'm actually sure.
I thought it was Kapinga and not.
I said Kapinga.
Yeah.
Kapinga, Kapinga, Nass.
Chris K. Whatever.
All right. Forgive me for my pronunciation here, but all that aside, those are two senators who have said that Republican state senators that said that they are not going to pass vote for the Republican budget that's being crafted right now. So do they need Democratic votes in the state Senate to get it done? Do they need to go back to the drawing board, or are they going to just not get something done?
I think they need to go back to the drawing board, but I think Chris Kapinga's response as far as let's go back to previous levels proves the point that we and Jane made, Jane and I made to your question, which they'll be happy to do no work. If they, it's like, oh, we won't be shut down. We won't be, we'll still have money, blah, 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 all those things. Well, then why don't we just, the last one was good. It's fine. Listen, I got things to do. I have a vacation to be on.
Yeah.
So I think that I feel like where Chris Kapinga is going is more going to be the, well, we couldn't get anything done, folks, but this budget 2 years ago was fine.
But then they have to go back to their voters come election time and say, hey, we didn't pass a budget. We didn't pass a tax cut.
But right? but can't they spin that and say, look at the money we saved you by not voting for a new budget. Mm-hmm. See what we did for you. We protected you.
And to put a little GOP spice on it, they can say we didn't bow to Democrats and their and their tax and spending. They'll make it like the Republican Assembly is looking at the Republican Senate right now. But at the end of the day, if nothing happens, they are just going to blame Democrats.
Oh, that's a given.
And especially Tony Evers.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much a given.
That's exactly how it's going to go.
But I think a lot of this goes back to they're still really hurt that Scott Walker lost. And they're really, really, this is just my opinion, I think they're really, really irritated that they didn't use the veto pen like Tony Evers did. Mm-hmm. I think they're really jealous about that. Mm-hmm. I do.
Well, they, you know, it's been 6.5 years. They're
time to get over
maybe
it.
Maybe it's time to get over it already and accept the realities of divided government. Maybe
she broke up with you. Sorry.
they're just not that into you anymore.
Yeah, I think, you know, Senate Democrats have an interesting role to play here, too, because I think, you know, some of the folks in the Budget Writing Committee, like Keldo Royce or some of the other folks in the caucus, LaTanya Johnson has mentioned that they might need Democratic votes to pass a budget in the Senate. I think there are a number of people that we should also like keep an eye on in this process and say if there are a couple Democrats say, hey, I would vote for your tax cut if you expand Medicaid, if you fund UW.
It's called compromise.
Yes, exactly. So I think there is a role to be played by some of those folks in this process as well.
And it says a lot. It says a lot that they're immediately pointing the finger at Senate Republicans instead of saying we're going to try to work with everybody. I know they would never do that or say that on paper. But it says a lot that they just keep on looking at the Republicans saying, dudes, do something, instead of looking at those Senate Democrats saying, all right, how do we make this work?
Yeah.
Let's get into a room. Nobody around for now.
Hash and we'll talk it out.
And then we'll go on a stage. We'll hold hands and you can campaign on that. Mm-hmm. You got something done.
Mm-hmm. Then the tax cut. They can do the one thing that they all, the only thing that they ever want to do is give a tax cut to the top tax bracket.
The answer to everything.
Right.
Rich people need more money. Mm. News is coming up next. When we return, we'll lighten it up with a little audio sorbet. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Mahmoud Khalil's been released from an immigration detention facility in Louisiana. He's been there since early March over his on-campus protests at Columbia University. But CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez tells us the case isn't over.
The Trump administration is saying that Khalil remains deportable because they continue to claim that he undermines U.S. foreign policy because of his pro-Palestinian advocacy, which they have tied to Hamas.
It's the first weekend of summer, and meteorologist Craig Allen reports extreme heat is blanketing much of the country.
A heat advisory currently covers 16 states.
The husband of the Colorado woman whose remains were discovered over 3 years after she was reported missing has been charged again. District Attorney Ann Kelly.
The grand jury has indicted Barry Morphew on the single count of murder in the first degree.
Suzanne Morphew was 49 when she went missing Mother's Day in 2020. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
The Pacers beat the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The Pacers dominated the Thunder last night in Indianapolis, 108-91, to tie up the NBA Finals at 3 games apiece. Oshkosh, Wisconsin's Tyrese Halliburton for the Pacers on Sunday night in Oklahoma City. It'll be the first time there's been a Game 7 in the Finals in 9 years.
You know, for the next couple of days, the narratives are going to be almost poison, you know, to talk about what this would mean to our city and legacy talk, and we played so well.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers opening a 3-game series against the Twins at Target Field. The Crew with a dramatic 8-7 win over the Cubs in Chicago yesterday, despite some very questionable balls and strike calls by the home plate umpire against the Brewers' Abner Uribe and Trevor McGill.
Pretty bad calls there in Abner's inning and in my inning. Yeah, I mean, that's baseball, I guess. I mean, they're going to have bad days back there, too.
That's Brewers closer Trevor McGill with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Danny Boyle is back with the release of 28 Years Later, his long-awaited third installment to the 28 Days franchise. In a recent article in Variety, the Slumdog Millionaire Oscar-winning director says, due to cultural appropriation, he probably couldn't direct a film like Slumdog Millionaire nowadays, but says he's okay with that and that he would want a young Indian director to have that opportunity to tell the story. What a cool dude. Boyle's other credits include Trainspotting and 127 Hours. Timothy Oliphant is on a roll. The star of Justified has a new show on Apple TV Plus called Lucky, where he stars opposite Anna Taylor-Joy. But Oliphant wasn't done. He still managed to find room in his calendar to join the cast of another Apple show called Stick, alongside Owen Wilson. The Emmy-nominated Oliphant will next be seen in FX's Alien Earth, which drops in August, and he will join a new Peacock show called Five Star Weekend. Cha-ching. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight with maybe a stray storm and lows in the low 70s. This weekend, heat advisory. Mostly sunny, hot, breezy, and humid. Highs mid-90s, heat index triple digits. Some storms Sunday night and Monday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, State Representative Francesca Hong on Republicans playing games with the state budget, plus Kristen Lierley, John and Gordy, and much more.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Friday. I'm having little brain lapses already.
You're discombobulated. That's why I'm here, Jane.
To get me recombobulated. Exactly. Dan Schaefer is here, civic media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. And it is time for a little audio sorbet, where we take a breath, get away from the news, lighten things up just a little bit. We've taken some criticism for this, but I think it's important that we all, in the midst of everything...
Those critics are wrong. Still, I love audio sorbet. I love the name. I love the vibe of it. Everything's
just
great.
Just for it to have a couple laughs, I think it's important.
Absolutely.
I spoke to one of our colleagues. I'll make him nameless just because he told me that this is one of his favorite parts of the show because we're talking about news. We're talking about heavy stuff, but then we're taking a moment, and we're also entertaining. It's not just like, today in Mongolia.
We're all going to die.
We're providing fun, but then this portion of the show takes a breath. Because as you put it, Jane, if we had to talk about this 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, nothing but like world-breaking news, it would be just miserable.
I'll have to throw myself off the tower in the back of the building, and I don't want to do that.
I would rather you not as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So yes, audio sorbet, where we take a little breath. You wrote a column about Summerfest. You're just getting in trouble all over the place lately, Dan Schaefer.
I had a couple spicy takes lately.
Rabble rousing.
That's right. Just gotta stir the pot every once in a while. I had a take about the Summerfest, which kicked off last night in Milwaukee. I love Summerfest. Absolutely love Summerfest. I will be going multiple days. I will be having a good time. I think it is still somehow underrated as an event and festival. I wrote a column at Milwaukee Magazine about a decade ago called In Defense of Summerfest, when people were being especially critical of it for random reasons.
Right.
Having said all of that, the 3-day weekend format is a crime against Milwaukee, and I hate it.
You know what? As someone who doesn't go to Summerfest really at all anymore, I appreciate what it is, and I appreciate what I like about it is what you love about it.
Yeah.
And I think the criticisms from maybe 10 years ago was maybe the bands weren't as topical as they used to. It used to be a lot of cover bands, a lot of bands that appealed to people like
an 40 older, demographic.
They have really done a great job of getting fresh new bands in there, especially on the free stage, the free quote unquote you pay to get in. But those stages have, I mean, Lizzo played there 1 year. That's a big get.
That's huge.
But yeah, I agree. Because I would go to Summerfest if it was
still during
11
the week
days.
Right.
And still during the week.
Yeah. The 3-day thing is just, I'm getting like nervous thinking about walking into Summerfest on a Saturday when there are hundreds of thousands of people there. It's just too much happening. Whereas a Sunday morning when they first open, or on a Thursday or a Wednesday, it's calm. It's fun. And then you don't have to stay for a couple. You don't have to stay all day either. It's
just, go for lunch. And,
yes,
and
exactly.
855-752-4842. The new Summerfest, now the way that we do it is three weekends in a row. The old Summerfest was 11 days in a row.
Right.
Should we go back to the old way?
We got to go back to the old way.
855-752-4842. Weigh in on this audio sorbet.
Okay, so one of the reasons I think is because I think this is bad for Milwaukee. Because I think if you have Summerfest taking up three of your summer weekends,
bad for other businesses, that's for sure.
It creates all of, it means that all of the other street festivals, ethnic festivals, other stuff that's happening throughout the city has to avoid Summerfest. Yep. So you have to, like last weekend was an especially busy one in the city of Milwaukee. There was Polish Fest at the Summerfest grounds. There was Lakefront Festival of the Art at the Art Museum. There was Summer Solstice on the east side. And all of those events had to pack into one day because they didn't want to go up against Summerfest. Mm-hmm. And Summerfest takes up three weekends. Like, we only have so many summer weekends in Milwaukee. We always go all out. We love our summers in Milwaukee. But to have three consecutive weekends taken up by Summerfest is a lot to contend with for some of these, you know, non-Summerfest festivals.
The tap would close for two weekends during that time because we can't compete.
Well, you can't compete.
No one would come out. And we didn't honestly want to run a place that was four people. It just didn't make sense.
Well, it's not worth it. Yeah. 855-752-4842. Dan Schaefer causing problems again. Should Summerfest go back to its original format of 11 days in a row as opposed to the new lineup, which is three weekends in a row? Mm-hmm. 855-752-4842. Couple things. I understand what you're saying about Summerfest still not being given enough credit, I guess, for the what a massive music festival it is.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't want more people coming.
You want fewer.
We don't need more people.
See, I don't think you and the Summerfest CEO are going to agree on that.
Probably not. But I remember back in the day when I was working Summerfest every day after doing a show, and the whole goal was we need a million people. We want a million people through the gates. Yeah. We want a million people through the gates. Yeah. Then it takes you an hour to get to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And you could tell on those nights, those big attendance evenings, it was uncomfortable and it wasn't fun.
And if it's really hot,
it's even worse.
Or if it rains, like there's always these elements. Scott in Shorewood listening, who actually provided to us our Jabba the Musk. He's the one who made it.
Yeah, Scott did.
Yeah. He said to you, Dan, stop it. It's one weekend extra.
But then Penny says, go back to 10 days in a row. I stopped going because I don't want to deal with big crowds.
That's how I kind of feel as well.
I think you also have, you know, it ignores certain, it makes it harder for certain people to go. Like if you work in the service industry, if you're waiting tables, you're working the bar or something like that, you're working every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then you can't really go to Summerfest. I think that makes it really hard too for like, you know, if people are just like, you know, you take off of school, you take off for the 4th of July, you take a long weekend, you spend a couple extra days at Summerfest because you know you can, hey, I'm going to go there on Wednesday or whatever it might be.
Right.
I think that's another problem with it. I think one of the things that they have done really well, though, is start scheduling different acts earlier in the day.
And
like last year, me, aging dad, I went to see like one of my favorite indie rock bands, The Hold Steady, and they were playing at 5. They were playing at 5, which is perfect. I'm going to go at 5. I'm going to have a couple drinks. I'm going to be done. I'll be home by 10 o'clock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we were talking about yesterday. We were talking about the appreciation of your band going on at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
You're like, it's amazing. And now I have two questions. One, because I don't know, because I don't go to Summerfest, and I apologize, everybody, but Summerfest now is Thursday through Saturday or through Sunday as well?
It's through Sunday.
No, it's not through Sunday.
Oh, it's only Thursday through Friday, Saturday.
That is insanity to me. That it would be, they would, to me personally, Sunday would be a big day, especially for families. You get in the car, come down to Summerfest.
But do kids really belong at Summerfest?
I think
during the day.
I think during the day, afternoon. Yes. I think
by 5 o'clock they have to leave.
Well, even by five, but honestly, at 5 o'clock,
time for 10-year-olds is 5 o'clock.
Scooters out. at 5.
I would actually propose that 5 o'clock they're closed, because you don't, if they're going to be closed on Sundays, period, and lose out on possible revenue and people coming, then why not open Sunday family days from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And that's it. And you still have bands. You can have more kid-friendly bands playing. You can have kid-friendly bands playing on the big stages too.
Marketing. Great. There you go. Summerfest. Mm-hmm.
At the very and that's the other thing too, is when you don't have it on Sunday, some of these service industry people are off on Sundays and Mondays, mm-hmm. and they're just completely out of luck here. So it just doesn't seem. And also the other question I have is, it never was every day in a row, right? Because it was always closed on the 4th of July, or was it open?
So usually they would close on the Monday. There was like a Monday that they would close, and they would clean up the festival and reset and whatever. Yeah. And then you'd still have like Tuesday through the following Sunday.
Right. Yeah. 855-752-4842. Today's audio survey question. Summerfest, should it go back to the original 11 days in a row, or should we continue with the 3 weekends in a row? 855-752-4842. Kimberly from Wauwatosa says, 11 days, please. Big event that everyone knows from all over the state. Now it's 3 weekends and no longer one big festival. One mm-hmm. fee for all 3 days. Music is free like Gretna Fest. But go back to 11 days from Kimberly. Schools and nonprofits typically took part during the weekend on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Jake on the live stream says, how about 2 long weekends for Summerfest? Thursday through Sunday, both times. And have days on July 3rd and 4th when they fall early in the week. They haven't in recent years. Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot. I mean, this all comes from COVID. This all comes from the lockdown. Yeah. And I believe it was canceled in 2020 because of COVID.
Delayed and then canceled, yeah.
Delaying, and then the next year, they did it later in the year.
Yeah.
Yes. In 2021, like September. Yes. Why not make Summerfest then a festival that happens at the end of summer after all the other festivals happen? Too. I mean, people are still going to come out. Is there a law that says it has to be in June? There's no, it's just been what they've done. And we can see now that the Summerfest people can rethink the way they exist.
Is possible
with the Milwaukee Comedy Festival this October. We always had the festival in August. And then because of COVID, we're like, what are we going to do? We can't do a festival in August in 2020. Can we do something smaller? Let's try October. And then we kept it in October. It was perfect because we weren't up against festivals. We weren't up against summer. I just think that there are ways of finding compromise and new ways. But this 3 weekend thing is just so, especially with no Sundays, that just makes no sense.
Too scattered.
Yes.
Too broken up. 855-752-4842. Summerfest, should we go back to its original iteration of 11 days in a row or continue with the new one with 3 weekends in a row? Richard from Waukesha is joining us on the phone. Good morning, Richard.
Morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I think they need to go back to something like 11, but maybe they could have a break, a day or two in the middle to restart, or just some kind of change, but to go back to more days, you know, in a row somehow.
Appreciate it, Richard. So 11 days, and then again, take that Monday.
Yeah, if you do Monday or Tuesday off or something like that.
Would be fine.
Mm-hmm. Fine.
I would almost go back to the 11 days. I think I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I've won you over, Jane.
Well, because again, as a person of a different older age, I would go on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and meet a friend for lunch and then maybe hang out for a couple of hours and listen to some of the afternoon bands and stuff. That appeals to me. But I'm like a Penny who said, I don't want to go in on a Saturday with 200,000 people there. That just does not sound like fun.
Yeah. Do you go to State Fair?
Yes.
See, State Fair is continuous.
Yeah.
Right. And State Fair keeps getting better. Like, I feel like the State Fair numbers keep going up and up and up. Like, they get more than 1 million people at State Fair every year. And so how are you not seeing that this is an event for people to, like, you know, spend some extra time there, take some time off of work and take your family or whatever it might be. Like, it seems to be working fine for State Fair. I guess it's, I don't know. I think Summerfest is trying a little bit too hard to be like a Lollapalooza or a Coachella like play in that same type of sandbox.
We don't want to be Palooza.
And I just don't think, and I don't think that's really.
Don't Palooza.
Well, that's the name of today's episode. We don't want a Palooza.
Don't Palooza Summerfest. No, that's a bad idea.
Oh my God. That's
listen to Jane. Jane knows what's up.
That's a really good way of looking at it too. And you can push it as like a, hey, you know how you're paying $300 for Lollapalooza? you can come to ours for like $50 total with all the tickets and everything. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Summerfest, Greg Bach's available if you're looking for a new marketing guy. He might be the one. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, author, and creator of the Recombobulation Area. Subscribe. It is absolutely worth it. Thank you so very much, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Well, always one.
When
wonderful
we
to join you.
Return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I'll be checking out early edition. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies.
Ah!
And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life. But you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And you still have a couple of minutes to grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, select your station and text in the word BREW, B-R-E-W, text in the word BREW. It is our Free Ticket Friday's contest going on all day today. Your chance to pick up a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. These are good seats.
Yes.
So text in the word BREW until 11 o'clock, B-R-E-W, via the Civic Media app. Tom Hartman will have a different word for you after 11 o'clock. Todd all by then from 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Free Ticket Friday's. Today, the word is BREW, B-R-E-W, until 11 o'clock. Spelling counts.
Spelling does count, so B-R-E-W.
Keep that in mind.
Love seeing those misspellings come through.
Absolutely. So much fun. Coming up on Monday, really looking forward to this. Charlie Pittman is our new news director here at Civic Media. She's been with us not quite a month.
Yep.
And so we're going to have Charlie in for a regular segment now on Mondays, where she is going to give us a little heads up about what our great news department here at Civic Media is working on.
And things we may have missed over the weekend, because, you know, no news happens on Friday to Sunday.
Nothing ever happens over the weekend. So Charlie will be here on Monday at 9:35, right after the 9:30 news. And then a long time friend of the show, and it's been a while since we've had the bug guy on.
Yeah.
PJ Leash from UW-Madison, entomologist, is going to join us on Monday after the 10 o'clock news to talk about ticks.
Yeah.
They're worse than ever, apparently. Oh, joy.
Great.
I know. But PJ's always great, and we'll find out what other creepy crawlies we have to be concerned about with this, with going on over the summer.
Yeah.
So I hope you can join us coming up on Monday. If you ever miss anything, you can always go to our website at civicmedia.us. Go to the top, click on shows, scroll down to Matt and Air on Air, and we have about 100 past episodes on the website.
You can also subscribe to the show as a podcast. Go to your podcast distribution center of choice, find our show, subscribe, and it'll be automatically downloaded into your device every day. 2 episodes a day. 3 if you subscribe to This Shouldn't Be a Thing as a podcast as well, which you should. And then if you feel like it and we've deserved it, give us a 5-star review, because that helps with visibility. It helps with ratings, and it just helps get the word out to who we are and what we do on the show.
Absolutely. Speaking of Tisbet 1055, Calvin, that means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from the Mirror, that bastion of journalistic excellence from across the pond.
So many Pulitzers.
So many Pulitzers. The headline reads, British Airways crew mistakenly booked into sex dungeon as they spot grim detail in room. Members of a British Airways cabin crew found themselves in a mortifying situation after being accidentally checked into a sex hotel.
That sounds like a sex hotel.
Complete with an anatomically detailed bathtub.
What is that? Wait a minute.
We'll get there. While in the Italian city of Milan, it had decided that this British Airways crew would spend the night at Motel Mo.om. This is a modern hotel with good transportation links. Unfortunately, whoever booked it, the team found themselves bedding down for the night at a similarly named Mo.om hotel. The names are so close, but there's a big difference. It soon became clear to the crew this was no ordinary hotel, as they took in the bondage-themed beds and anatomically shaped spa tub. And if the features, those features didn't make the point.
Oh, gotcha.
The incessant moaning and groaning from their fellow patrons must have cut through the walls. A source.
Jane's so uncomfortable reading this.
A source told the Mirror, crews were booked into a pay-by-the-hour sex hotel, confronted with bondage sets, mirrored ceilings, dog cages, and leather harnesses. It was obvious this was not the intended hotel. Although there were some humorous elements to the mishap, the sleeping situation less than ideal for the staff. As the source explained, this was a comical mistake by the hotel booking team, but had serious implications. Some of the team members who slept in the sex dungeon didn't get any sleep, so they couldn't actually fly the next day.
sex dungeon. You know there was one person in that group who was like, oh, we're checking out?
Oh,
I don't know. This looks cool to me.
Everything wrong. They were kept awake by thrill seekers moaning and groaning all day and all night. A British Airways spokesperson says a small number of crew were moved to unapproved hotel rooms after availability issues with our usual accommodations. This happened without our knowledge. We're investigating to make sure this never happens again.
And then they put us in a comfort suite. Ugh, so gross.
So what a letdown.
Two star.
What a letdown after the Mo Hotel.
Sex Hotel!
That's a song waiting to be written.
Oh, I'm writing that this weekend.
That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, and Pete Schwabe. We are the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you on Monday.
Is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. After spending more than 100 days at an ICE detention facility in Louisiana, Columbia University student Mahmoud Khalil has been released.
The hundreds of men who I left behind me shouldn't be there in the first place. The Trump administration are doing their best to dehumanize everyone here.
CBS's Camilo Montoyo Galvez tells us the Trump administration attempted to deport him due to foreign policy concerns.
They say that he essentially engaged in immigration fraud by failing to disclose certain information in his green card application. And they are denouncing this ruling by the judge and saying that they look forward to one day deporting Khalil from the U.S.
Vice President J.D. Vance visited an ICE facility in Los Angeles on Friday and blamed local officials for isolated demonstrations that turned violent.
What I see here today is the great tragedy when a mayor...